الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رب صائم ليس له من صومه الا الجوع ورب قائم ليس له من قيامه الا السهر صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His infinite mercy and grace has brought us forth to the month of Ramadan. That dua of a mu'min that started in Rajab, Alhamdulillah, we see the acceptance of that dua. Balighna Ramadan, O Allah, take us forth to Ramadan. Inshallah, tonight or the sunset will mark the beginning of this Mubarak month of Ramadan. We all know what Ramadan is all about, what Ramadan has come for, what are the virtues of Ramadan. It's mentioned in the Quran, فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Remind each other, because the reminder is beneficial for the mu'mins. And we do this in our daily lives, we know our errands, our duties, and yet we remind each other, we remind our children, we remind our staff, we remind our wives, we remind our family about their duties, about their responsibilities, because we care, because we have love for them, and because we are concerned that they do not err or do not falter in any of their duties. So here we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from amongst the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that is most merciful towards us is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also is described as Rahim and Ra'uf, the one that is most merciful, most kind and compassionate. So Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu tells us that it was on the last day or the last day of the day of Shaban when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a sermon. And this sermon, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was so comprehensive that it encompassed all the aspects of Ramadan, most of the important aspects of this Mubarak month of Ramadan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had began the sermon by saying that, O mankind, ya ayyuhan nas, qad adhallakum shahrun azimun mubarakun. That, O people, there has come upon you a very great month and a very blessed month. Even if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped here, it was sufficient enough for us to appreciate this month and realize the greatness of this month. That which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regards as azim, great, how great it must be and how blessed it must be, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereafter continues, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam elaborates and mentions what is the greatness of the month and what we should do. The very first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions is this, that this is a month wherein there is a night that is more valuable than 1,000 months. First thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that in this month there is a night خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, that is better than 1,000 months. Now if you look at the sentence, 1,000 months is equivalent to 83 years and 4 months. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions this in the very beginning of this hadith. Whereas in another hadith, if corroborated with other hadith, we understand that this month comes towards the end of the month and comes in the odd nights of the month. In other words, in order to instill the greatness of this month, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions here the night of Laylatul Qadr. And obviously, when a person appreciates the greatness of this night, then in preparation of this night and in orientation, in getting ourselves to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the very first day, a person will begin to exert himself as far as his worship is concerned, as far as his ibadat and fasting and taraweeh is concerned, so that when that Mubarak night comes, then all he has reached the optimum and the ultimate as far as his exertion and as far as his ibadat is concerned. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam firstly mentions this, this is such a great month and such a Mubarak month that it contains a night that is more valuable than 83 years and 4 months. How much more valuable this is, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how much more valuable it is. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions about that ibadat that is peculiar, that is unique only to this month, and that is fasting. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting compulsory in this month of Ramadan. If you look at the ordinance of fasting in the Holy Quran, it is so unique and different with regards to its being made compulsory in relation to other ibadat. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, inshallah, we'll go into this later, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many consolations and many concessions for the person that's going to be fasting. However, in principle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting compulsory upon us in the month of Ramadan. And fasting is a very unique ibadah. It is so abstract that a person cannot make out. Person sitting next to you does not know whether you are fasting and you do not know whether he is fasting. That is why in some riwayats we understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, in the hadith of Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that fasting is for me and I will be the reward for that person that is fasting. Can we imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself becomes the reward of that person that is fasting? And why not? Because it goes against his natural disposition. Naturally, a person is inclined, an inherent quality in him is to eat and drink, etc. Here, because of the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes against his natural demands, natural physical demands that he has, only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates this so much, and some rewires that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself becomes the person that becomes his enumeration, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repay him with himself. So fasting is being ordained upon us in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it what such through his wisdom that this fasting rotates. Sometimes it's in summer, sometimes it's in winter, sometimes the days are long, sometimes it is cold, sometimes it is hot, etc. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity where the days are barely, say, 12 hours or maybe 1 minute over 12 hours, where the night and the day is virtually equal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it completely, days completely small and easy for us. So there should be no real excuse for a person not to fast. But in fact, these are all incentives. That is why we find that even if you look back in history, the little children, the pious people used to make the little children also fast so that they become accustomed to fasting and carrying out this great order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, in some areas, there are some even non-Muslims that fast. Seeing the Muslim fasting, they also join into the fast and they also experience the joy of fasting, so to say, in their own words. The joy of fasting, only a mu'min knows at the time of iftar, when he takes that kajur, that he has completed this fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of judgment, when he will see the enormous reward of fasting, then we will see. That is why there should be no real reason, unless a person is really sick, or the doctors have declared that he cannot fast, or is traveling, etc. Then obviously he is excused. Otherwise we should not be under any circumstances not fasting in the month of Ramadan. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam draws our attention towards this great ibadat. And thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Taraweeh sunnat for you. Taraweeh is sunnat for you in the month of Ramadan. And what is the sunnat of Taraweeh? One is to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perform 20 rakats of Taraweeh, wherein there is virtually consensus upon this. Today we find, unfortunately, from some quarters, people try to even minimize this and say it's not 20 rakats, but it's 8 rakats or less than 8 rakats. If you look at the annals of history, and if you look, you will find that there is virtually consensus that there are 20 rakats of Taraweeh, which is sunnat muakkida. Together with that, to listen to the Holy Quran and to listen to the Holy Quran recited in the month of Ramadan, in the Salat of Taraweeh, is also a sunnah. That is why a person should try and attempt to complete both these sunnahs. Sometimes the person will find that he listens to the Holy Quran in a few days and thereafter he leaves at Taraweeh, thinking that my sunnah is fulfilled. Or sometimes, on the other hand, we find a person listens, performs the Taraweeh, but has not listened to the Holy Quran. So we should try and endeavor to listen to the entire Holy Quran. In fact, we are fortunate that in these parts of the world we have so many Hufadhi Kiram, that there are so many other places besides the Masajid also that the Taraweeh Salat is performed. In some areas, in fact, in our own country, in our own city, many, many years ago, we had no Hufaz. We had to get the Hufaz from other towns and other areas for them to perform the Taraweeh Salat. Today, alhamdulillah, we have the opportunity of great amount of Hufaz here in our country, where we can listen to the Holy Quran in different ways. Some places the Holy Quran is recited 3 paras a night. Some people go there in order to complete this sunnah, that we can complete our listening to the Holy Quran in 10 nights. And thereafter they continue reading the Taraweeh Salat, but maybe it's in different areas because of different reasons, because of travel, etc., or because of safar. So we should try and endeavor to complete both the Taraweeh. And we should try and make a firm intention As I mentioned, now we have such a unique opportunity where the days and nights are virtually equal. We should ensure that we don't miss one rakat of Taraweeh. And what is more unfortunate also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, that we come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Taraweeh is about to begin and we are sitting relaxed there at the back and waiting for the Imam sahab to go into Allahu Akbar into ruku and then come into Taraweeh. Otherwise, we are depriving ourselves right in the masjid, in the house of Allah, from listening to the entire Quran, and we wait for the Imam to go into ruku and then we come and rush into no. This may be the act of few children who have no understanding, but for an adult person is understanding, person is anticipating the great rewards in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is anxiously waiting when the Taraweeh will complete. That is why we find, alhamdulillah, we find so many of our elderly folk also, month of Ramadan, they ensure they try and come for each and every Taraweeh. They may be sitting and reciting, listening, but they ensure that they hear for each and every Taraweeh. Further, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, after mentioning this, he tells us about the great barakat of the month of Ramadan, where the values are increased. Person who carries out a nafil action in the month of Ramadan is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like a farz action. Any other part of the year, any other place on the earth a person goes, nafil action is not given this merit and value and is not uplifted to this degree that becomes equivalent to a farz, except for the month of Ramadan. This is more incentive for us to carry out all the other nawafils, whether it is the awabin salat, whether it is the ishraq salat, whether it is the tahajjud salat, etc. Try and endeavor to carry out maximum amount of nawafil, because they are now equivalent to a farz. This is also for a limited period. And after this period is over, then if you carry out this nawafil, they come back to their original status and they are nafil. So when something is there for a limited period, we know how we go and endeavor to try and get the maximum. Similarly, Rasulullah tells us that the farais, they are equal to 70 farais. One faraiza is equal to 70 farais. And here the farais that is compulsory upon us daily is the 5 daily salat. Person is one salat, so to say, gets the reward of 14 days of salat. 70 farais is equal to 14 days of salat. So if a person carries out one salat, is like reading salat for 14 days. This is the amount of reward that he gets for his farais. So we should try and endeavor not to miss out any farz in the Mubarak month of Ramadan. That is why many are those that give their zakat also in the month of Ramadan in order to maximize the reward as far as the farais is concerned. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us here about the values of amal. And thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us that this is the month of shahrun shahrus sabr. It's a month of patience and perseverance. We all know in the course of ibadat, when a person is hungry, sometimes a person misses his sehri, sometimes there's a difficult task before him, sometimes it's hot, obviously here it is not that hot. Then what happens? A person is not his normal self, but he ought to behave, he ought to restrict himself, there should be self-control and self-discipline and restraint when it comes to his behavior. He should be a person that's tolerating this only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should not become irritable and not become troublesome to the people around us because of our hunger, etc. No, this is the month of sabr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us that the sabr will not go in vain. Wa sabr sawabuhu jannah. That sabr is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give his reward, and the reward of sabr is paradise. Imagine when a person knows what he is getting, then he undergoes difficulties and hardship for what he is getting, but he knows what is before him. So similarly here, if there is any difficulty and hardship on a person because of his fasting, because of his taraweeh, etc., then he should endure it patiently for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get that great reward. There's the reward of paradise. And together with that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us about our duties towards people around us. Wa shahrul muwasat is the month of sympathy for our fellow people. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his divine wisdom has decreed the rozi and sustenance differently to different people. There are those people that are less fortunate, destitute and poor and needy. We should ensure that our sympathy is of a practical nature in the Mubarak month of Ramadan, where we assist those people as far as they eat food, drink and necessities are concerned. This also should be done in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the rozi of a mu'min in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of our eating and drinking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures are unlimited, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases our rozi in the month of Ramadan. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam draws our attention to fasting, to feeding of a fasting person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions enormous and great reward. Whosoever feeds the fasting person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it the means of his maghfirat and the forgiveness of his sins, and will free him from the fire of Jahannam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the same reward like the reward of that fasting person. person that feeds the fasting person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sin of that person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees him from a fire of Jahannam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter gives him the full reward of the reward of the fast of the fasting person. Otherwise, he gets the reward if he has fasted. And if he feeds one person, then he gets the reward of that person's fast as well. If he has fed 10 people, he gets the reward of 10 additional fasts as well. Imagine the status of a fasting person in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that just for feeding him, your sins are forgiven. Just for feeding him, you are freed from the fire of Jahannam. That is why we find those people who understand this true value of this action, they go to great lengths to ensure that they feed the fasting person. We also have opportunities, people around us that are less fortunate, etc. Especially when we come here to the masjid to open our fast, we should try and bring some additional food also for those people that are less fortunate and who cannot partake of such food in their homes. We should try and, that's the least that we can do. Obviously, the sky is the limit. There are so many people in different parts of the world that need iftar or need food for iftar that can be sent to them through the authentic ulama and through reliable organizations. But that's the least that we can do. How unfortunate it is sometimes that we witness a person comes here, he brings a little bit of food and he sits in one corner away from the people, sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not prepared to share his food with the Muslim brothers around him. That is the case. A person should sit at home, finish his iftar there, and then come to the masjid. Not come to the masjid and cause different parties and groups and not allow his food to be distributed. No. Remember the days when the people in the homes used to prepare the food. The food used to be brought to the masjid, whatever little a person could afford, and is to hand it over to the person that is distributing the food and is to put it wherever he wishes. Yes, there may be some peculiar requirements of a person due to his sickness or illnesses, etc. Where anybody likes his own food, that's in his place. But a person should not restrict his food to only himself. And while sitting here with the Muslim brothers, as I mentioned, where will you get this opportunity of making iftar or giving something to a person next to us to make iftar and getting our sins forgiven? And look at the spirit of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they heard this great virtue, they inquired from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, otherwise out of regret and anguish and distress and worry and concern, O Prophet of Allah, not all of us are in a position where we can feed a fasting person. And what was the beautiful reply of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan and to show the high status of a fasting person? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions words to this effect, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the same reward, that is forgiveness of the sin, emancipation and freedom from the fire of Jahannam, and getting the full reward of the fasting person to that person who just gives one khajur and one date to a fasting person, or just gives him a little bit of water to drink, or just gives him a sip of milk to drink. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in lieu of that little bit of water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free the person from the fire of Jahannam and forgive all his sins and give him the reward of the fasting person. Can we imagine a greater reward than this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam consoled the sahaba, you may not have the means, but this is the great reward even for a little bit of action. So those of us that have even more means to try and endeavor to try and spread our generosity to the people around us, especially to the fasting people around us. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in such a month, the first of it brings the forgiveness of Allah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second of it brings the forgiveness of Allah, and the third brings emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. Here, there are great details that are discussed here. What does it actually mean? Some of the opinion that this is with regard to different categories of people. Those people that do not have the burden of sins upon them. The coming of the month of Ramadan, we find the mercy of Allah raining upon them. Those people that were sinful after carrying out the farais of farz of fasting and the Taraweeh Salat, etc., Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter forgives their sins. And those people that are extremely sinful towards the end of the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them freedom from the fire of Jahannam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again reminds us about the people around us. Here on one side we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning the ibadat. On the other side, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning the ibadullah, the slaves of Allah. How should be our behavior be towards them? Those people that lessen the burden of their fellow people, otherwise those people that are working under them, etc., if they lessen their burden, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive their sins and free them from the fire of Jahannam. Otherwise, if a person has a staff who's a Muslim and is working with him for him in the month of Ramadan, should lessen his burden either by giving him off early or either by having additional staff in the month of Ramadan to make his burden easy. Then just for doing that, just for this little consideration that he has for the Muslim brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives his sin and enters him to paradise. Here is a true reflection of the value of a fasting person, his status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, apart from fasting and taraweeh, your zikr should be of four things, that you should abundantly do four things. Two are such that you cannot do without. Two are such that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And two are such that you cannot do without. What are those two things that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One is to read the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, or to read the kalima, Shahadat. The second thing is to ask for forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are two simple actions. Rasulullah s.a.w. says that you should carry this out abundantly. That's why our mashayikh mentioned, whether you are in the masjid, whether you are walking, whether you are in your business place, whether you are going to and fro to the workplace and back, you should try and abundantly engage yourself in these four things, that is reading the kalima, asking for istighfar. And the two things that you cannot do without, and each one of us cannot do without, is this, that you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for entry into paradise and seek refuge from the fire of Jahannam. This is a month where it's mentioned that the doors of Jahannam are closed and the doors of Jannat are wide open. And here we are told by Allah, by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly for entry into paradise and to seek his refuge from the fire of Jahannam. Why not will our du'as not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that's most merciful and so kind and so gracious? It is for us to come forward, for this is one of our greatest needs. Person that is saved from the fire of Jahannam and entered into paradise, in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is faqad faz. That person is absolutely successful, irrespective of what his status may be in the dunya. If he's saved from the fire of Jahannam and entered into paradise, this is the season where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that we should do this abundantly. And thereafter again Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, towards the end of the hadith, mentions again the virtue of giving, of looking after the fasting person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam this time mentions that that person that gives some water to a fasting person to drink, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates this so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him water from my fountain on the day of judgment. Thereafter he will never become thirsty till he enters into paradise. Such a great reward just for giving water to a fasting person. And imagine if you give it to those people who do not have water, who do not have means to open the fast or for anything, for any food, etc. How much more rewarding it will be in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq and guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted our du'as and brought us towards Ramadan. Now we should make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma sallim holi, O Allah, save me for the month of Ramadan. Now secure the month of Ramadan for me. The month of Ramadan will be here. I should not pass it away, just while my time away, like the other months. No, but it should be unique and distinct and different from the other months. And I should give me the tawfiq to make ibadat and make value and take advantage of this opportunity for every moment and every second that goes past, and save me from those things that are futile and useless. As Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayh, used to mention a very strange sentence, a very striking sentence, especially when he had come here for itikaf. He used to say that, oh brothers, eat as much as you want, meaning at the time of iftar and sehri. And if you're feeling too sleepy, then sleep as much as you want, but do not speak. Do not speak useless things. Save yourself from speech that is useless. So the least that we can do, obviously we should engage our tongues in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if that is difficult, the least that we can do is not speak unnecessarily, not speak those things that are futile, don't speak those things that are useless and bring us no benefit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.